Welcome to part two of our interview with Robert Garcia about the haunted 1904 church. And tell me about more of the investigations that have gone on at the 1904 church after that initial. Tell me about some of the experiences that have occurred subsequently.
We did have another group there this past fall that they were kind of walking around doing a lot of filming, and the guy was kind of a big photographer. He likes to take very professional photos. So he was going around doing his photo thing. And upstairs in the bell tower, you have these doors that are swinging doors. There's two of the stairs in the balcony. There's two down below on the main sanctuary floor. So he's walking around shooting these photos, and these doors are propped open, right? Now, you can't prove that this was paranormal, but he put a live video, and he's walking through there, and he's getting ready to walk from the tower into the sanctuary, and this door comes slamming and hits him right in the face, pretty much, and stops him from going into the sanctuary. And he's kind of freaked out by this, because, you know, here he is just walking in this door, and it's not a door that like wooden or anything, but it still would, you know, knock you backwards. So it I think that pretty much freaked him out. And we're still waiting on their total results from what they captured in the place. So I haven't seen it totally, but I know those events happened while they were there. And I think it kind of made him go, whoa, what is going on here? So that was one of the events. And I know they kind of had weirded out feeling, especially down in the basement. But I'd love to see what they captured on physical evidence.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the other things that other investigators, other than yourself, have experienced in the 1904 church?
A lot of it's been, like I was telling you, the shadow play, the things like that, where they see a lot of the shadows move, especially up in the balcony area and the back sanctuary near that tower. But those seems to be the areas where people pick up on a lot. And there's also some stairs that come from the balcony down into it was where the folks were living. It would be kind of like a reception room, mm-hmm. I would say, where you'd first walk into the side of the church, kind of next to the kitchen. A lot of people have experiences on those stairs as well, and that kind of part of the choking thing seems to emanate from there. So those areas kind of people pick up on. Now, others did hear the choking sounds, and they have been heard more than once. So that's not the only time. So that, I'm not sure if that's a residual thing or what, but it seems to manifest itself now and then.
That's really compelling, the fact that is showing up not as an EVP, but just as an audible sound that anyone can hear.
Yeah, and I was always like, well, you know, could it be a bird in the building? You know, a bird wouldn't make that sound. Or could it be, you know, an animal has gotten in, you know, and has made that sound? You know, but we pretty much sealed up the building, so it's pretty tough now for, you know, anything outside of a mouse to get in there.
Sure.
And so I don't know. I don't have an explanation for it yet. So I personally have not heard it. It's been other people. So I'm kind of banking on other people's experiences right now until that happens for me. So
has anyone captured any compelling EVPs, any investigators in the building that may reveal anything about who may be there or just anything in general?
They've captured some EVPs, but I don't know if they're audible enough to say, like, it's, you know, Colonel Mustard in the library or anything like that. So to go back to the Clue reference, but you know, that a lot of them are definitely strange. Now, the thing about it is we do run our security camera down there, one of them on Paranormal Warehouse at times. And I don't know if you're familiar with Paranormal Warehouse. They mm-hmm. they have access to cameras in several paranormal locations, and they'll run them on a live stream for, you know, 4 hours to 36 hours or what have you. And there's an audience that watches. And we have groups of folks that will watch those cameras, those live feeds, and they'll send us clips of EVPs all the time coming out of those cameras. And a lot of them are just strange and screams and yells and all kinds of stuff. and you just kind of never know. Now, I don't think the audio quality is good enough on those cameras. Sometimes you can kind of discern what's being said, but you know, for a building that's boarded up, a lot of them, not boarded up, but shut up, they're very loud, and they sound like someone's in the beside the building talking.
Yeah.
And to me, you'd almost have to like stick your mouth up to the window and yell in to get some of those effects. But some of the clips are pretty compelling that we've captured from out of there.
What about you? What have you personally had happen to you in the building?
Now, I'm kind of the guy in your paranormal investigation that doesn't have a lot happen to him. Mm-hmm. So my things that happen to me are always kind of more of a feelings sort of thing. But I was standing in the sanctuary. Now, you got to understand too, when I go to these places that we co-own, I go with the mindset, oh, I got to get this done, or oh, I got to get that done. I'm all business. I've got the limited amount of time, and I've got to get this piece of construction or work done. And so I'm usually in that mindset. So when I walk into the sanctuary, I'm like, I think I'm sweeping or something, because like I said, we do have some roof issues here at the church that, in one spot that's pretty bad. So we tend to get some frequent problems there. So I'm cleaning up, and I'm looking at one direction, but I look out the corner of my eye near. So I'm looking, one direction, and then to my left is the tower. And I see like this kind of cloud thing kind of stand there and then slowly kind of almost like a digital disappears. Do you understand what I mean?
Sure.
But it's not digital. It can't be. I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
So, and then it's a split second. Like, as fast as you can look at it, it's gone. It's like, I'm just going to give you a taste of who I am, and then I'm going to leave. So that's what I experienced so far in there. And I definitely hear things going on behind me sometimes, but I turn around and, I don't have audio. It always seems to be I'm not in investigative mode when that happens. And that's kind of typical for me. They love to show themselves when I'm not ready. So that's kind of my experiences so far.
I know you have some videos up on the Facebook page of the 1904 Church. What is being depicted in some of those videos?
There are several clips, a lot of clips from those live streams.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what you're seeing is the videos from that location. Some of them have been done by my co-owner Justin Spurrier, who was just kind of like putting it out there that we have, this church that if you'd like to visit, it's out there. Now a lot of also we have some doll. We love to use props and dolls and, set them up and see if they remain standing. And so, because we have so much experience with that at the Garnet House that a lot of our stuff goes moving and flying up there. And so we wanted to test that out here at the church. So some of those clips may be of the dolls we do have in there, being toppled over or knocked over. And that's kind of what the stuff we look for is we have trigger objects that we'll put in places and see if, do they stay in one spot? Do they end up somewhere else than where we left them? That's kind of a lot of the experimentation we do, especially initially when we are in these locations. And I do that in my paranormal investigations. Like, I want to see if there's any movement at all, that can cause these objects to topple or end up someplace where you didn't leave them. That's always the strange one.
Does the trigger object, does it need to be relevant, in your opinion, to whatever may be haunting a location for it to manipulate it? Or is it more so about having an object that is just easily manipulatable?
I think it can go both ways. You always look for stuff that's – it depends on what experiment you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you definitely want to take something period and put it into that space where you're trying to choose like a time slip to get, I'm a guy who doesn't believe in a spirit is this entity that's trapped in this three-dimensional space, you know, that can't leave this square, mm-hmm. so, or this cube. So my feelings are these things can come and go. So my view is, if I get a period piece and put it in there, will that get whatever likes to frequent there's interest enough to make it move or cause something to happen? You know, and that you can also do that with audio. You know, pump audio from a period in there, or some sort of music or sounds. You know, I've done a lot of that experimentation, especially in Civil War battlefields here in Kansas and Missouri. So I don't think it has to be. And we put dolls in there that have, you know, like Mork from Mork and Mindy is sitting in there, and he's been toppled numerous times, you know, off the balcony and all over the place. So I think I always, when I go to dolls and things like that, I just try to find interesting ones.
Sure.
You know, ones that, you know, stand out, that, you know, it's different from this doll, but it's, you know, it's not just your typical, here's a porcelain baby doll.
Sure.
You know, it's something odd that, you know, may pique their interest as well. So you try all angles. I think when you're doing a paranormal investigation, you try everything. There's no, to me, one way of doing things. Mm-hmm. You just have to keep experimenting. You have to keep expounding on what you're doing.
I was looking at some of the pictures inside the sanctuary, and I don't know if this is meant as a trigger object or just to be spooky, but there's caskets in the right. sanctuary. What's the thought process there?
So my co-owner, you know, out here in Kansas, you know, I live in Kansas City, but he lives out in a small town in Kansas. And you go to a lot of estate sales, things like that, where people are just liquidating old buildings. And in this case, it was a funeral home that was being liquidated. Mm-hmm. So he went to this auction, and he wanted, you know, he saw these were being sold off kind of at a at nothing price. So, you know, there's a couple of, there's like an Old West type one in there. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we thought, like, well, if we ever do events where we want to use these as not paranormal events, but, you know, like a film type event or things like that.
Sure.
The thought process, what we would use these in that type of vein. And, you know, because like there's one, it looks like, you know, you could put a old cowboy in it, like from, you know, one of those old tin types where they used to photograph the dead sitting in their casket.
Sure.
And so we thought, like, well, I think the thought process was we could use these in some of that sort of vein. So what happened was, had that one, and that one you see that's laying up on top of the sanctuary was so big and heavy that it was like, where are we going to put this thing? So I think he just put it there and just staged it up on the sanctuary podium, and it's kind of just stayed there ever since. And that's kind of more of a fluke than I think there was ever really any intent behind it. But,
sure.
You know, it still gives it, I guess, a creepy vibe. You know, it was never a used coffin. Let's get that straight.
It looks so ominous in those images, because you got to think, I mean, there's been many a caskets that I'm sure were sitting in that exact place with a body in them. And then in the images, there's no body in it. And it just it gives it a whole.
Yeah, I think there's dolls sitting in it,
yeah.
Waiting to be toppled off the top. So, you know, we move them around a lot, because they do. They get knocked off, and you'll come back. We always try to get the cameras to capture them. You know, we have the Paranormal Warehouse camera, but then we have a whole array of other cameras inside both of our locations that kind of watch things for us to make sure that, you know, not just paranormal. We want to make sure nobody's kicking the door in, so we don't have to call sheriff. But
sure.
So, you know, we watch our places pretty close, but, you know, you're always trying to capture with your cameras, hey, you know, if there's paranormal activity going on, we'd love to have you document yourself.
Sure.
For us. But yeah, with the caskets, I think it was just, you know, I think he also did want to see, you know, like, hey, if I put this casket up here, well, whatever's going on here, take notice.
I mean, it's an interesting thought process. I mean, obviously funerals are wrought with emotion, and I'm sure there was many that went on within the walls of that building. And sometimes if you're almost recreating some part of that setting, is that going to trigger something?
And you know, we've done a lot, and I know I have with my paranormal investigation career, I've done a lot of that, trying to set a period piece, because I do so many historic landmarks, you know, buildings that have survived the Civil War and here in Kansas City. And there's not a lot because this area was pretty much burned to the ground during the Civil War, especially all those antebellum homes and buildings. And so I always tried to set a scene for this, if there's spirits or residual type of activity, will these type of things make that happen? Yeah. Will they cause this activity to trigger? And I think that's what you're always looking for. You're always looking for, as a paranormal investigator, you know, not only the high tech stuff, but what normal everyday stuff can you use to bring out this type of activity and document it?
Based on the experiences that you've had there, based on the information that you've been given from the other investigators who've had experiences there, do you have any ideas or any guesses as to who or what may be haunting the 1904 church?
I think it's to be determined. I think it's too premature for me to say, like, it's a hanged girl or, you know, or some of these things that have been kind of given to us by – I need more, I think. I think it's still a mystery, and that's why I say herein lies the mystery in this church. I still think it needs further study and further evidence to figure out who and why, because I know like a lot of the audio we've captured, it's not just women. It's not just a girl. There's men voices. There's male voices. And what sounds like child voices. So, you know, are they coming and going? Is it a place that these spirits or what have you liked this place when they were alive and so they come back now and then? Or, mm-hmm. you know, or is it just something recorded in the walls? Now, the limestone's a lot of – you know, you can always go with the stone theory. You know, there's a lot of limestone in that basement. Is it some sort of recorded phenomenon that's happening over and over? I think it's all still to be determined. But you see a lot of the stuff that's happened with the growls and the shadow people and seeing that cloudy shadow. It's definitely weird. I mean, I definitely would love to know more as to what it could be.
I think it's going to take time. It's relatively new in its life of a building that's being investigated. So I'm sure there'll be many more chapters to this book.
Yeah, I think we're just on the very cusp of this location. I mean, we really are. You know, it has to be even chased even more. I think once more investigators maybe go in there and bring out some more evidence that hopefully, you know, like I said, Colonel Mustard in the library with the candlestick, you know, you want that piece of audio, you want that picture or video evidence that links something to the past, that links it to the present and shows you that you have some kind of real spirit of maybe a person that frequented the place before or lived there. But so far it's not there. We just have a lot of pieces, nothing that connects.
That wraps up part two of our interview with Robert Garcia about the haunted 1904 church. If you'd like to help with the restoration efforts of the church, support its mission, and help get its roof back into shape, you can visit Robert's website at 1858hotel.com. That's 1858hotel.com. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.